In bear country, Christmas excitement was mounting. We're talking the Berenstain Bears Christmas tree. Hit it! It was 1979. ESPN launched on cable TV. Skylab space station crashed. Pink Floyd released The Wall. And Papa Bear was in search of the perfect Christmas tree. I'm your host, Jerry D, with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now joining me is a Totally Rad Christmas all-star. You'll know him as the editor of the bodacious entertainment site, Holidays Unknown, Jason Rhodes. Jason, how's it going?
It's going good, Jerry. Thanks a lot for having me back.
Yeah, it was a blast last time. So, when you suggested Berenstain Bears, I jumped at the chance. It was great. So,
yeah. I'm excited to talk about this one.
It's a really good one. I enjoyed everything about it. The atmosphere is great. I mean, the storyline is pretty straightforward. It's pretty simple, but just, there's a great Christmas message at the end. And and I love the Berenstain Bears. I grew up with them. So
yeah, same here. Yep. I accredit being a decent human being to the Berenstain Bears because of their books and everything. You know, there was always a lesson in there someplace.
Yep.
And I've read almost every one of them.
Oh, nice.
Growing up.
The one that I remember most is Berenstain Bears. It's like, I think, No Girls Allowed.
Yeah.
That's the one, of course, that I remember most out of all of them, where they have a clubhouse. Yeah. And then, Sister Bear wants to join and they don't want to let her in. But then she, I guess, goes to complain. And so Papa builds her, one that's special. And it's like brand new and awesome. And so then, the girls have a club and the guys get jealous. And
just before we started, I was talking to my wife and I told her that one of the most valuable lessons I'd learned from them was to let girls into your clubhouse. Yeah. Get a better one.
Exactly. Yeah. So you pretty much said that your history, but what are your general thoughts other than, or what else are you thinking about when you think of the Berenstain Bears? Like what's the most important thing?
I remember whenever I first learned how to read, my parents had this bookshelf set up in the corner of the living room that was just all kids' books. And we always got the books from Scholastic, or if they pick them up at yard sales in different places, the Bears books. And I can remember sitting there on the floor just grabbing them and reading each one. And I'd go through them a couple times a week just loved them. And I give them a lot of the credit. I'm a pretty big reader now and always have been clear through school and everything. So I give the Berenstain Bears a lot of the credit for that. And when it comes to the Christmas special, the first time I ever saw it, I was in the first grade, I think, and I had the chicken pox. And
oh, wow.
My cousin had this huge collection of VHS tapes, so she sent all those up for me to watch while I was at home, and that was the Berenstain Bears Christmas tree was one of those tapes.
Nice.
And I watched it, loved it, and then it disappeared from my life for a little while because she took all our tapes back, and
oh, no.
It wasn't airing anywhere at that time. And but then I thought of it later in life and found it on DVD and part of the collection again.
Nice. This is one that I hope they release it on Blu-ray or 4K or, whatever the new thing is now, because the DVD version's good. But, I want them to like remaster it and really, I'd like to see it in crisp, clear picture a little bit more. But
yeah, because the DVD quality actually isn't much better than the YouTube version.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it would be nice to have them remaster it. This is one that I remember watching when I was young, but somehow it kind of just fell by the wayside, and I'd completely forgotten about it until my kids, about 3 or 4 years ago, my daughter was learning to read, you know, and of course at that time it was mostly just, you know, like A and B, you know, just her alphabet. But we would read the Berenstain Bears books to her. And so she loved them. So we would check a whole bunch out from the library. And all of a sudden I remembered that, you know, that there was this movie here. And yeah. So I went ahead and, you know, rented it, and it was, you know, it was great. And yeah. So we watched it again just a little while ago as a family. And uh-huh. I mean, it brought back all the memories of watching it as a kid. It's just, it's a good special.
Yeah, it is. Yep. And they eventually made wrote the book. And I always thought that the book had come out first and then the special. Yeah. And then after researching for this, I found out it was the opposite.
That's exactly what I thought too. Yeah. I thought it was the book and that they turned into a special, but no, yeah, it was, they wrote the special. They tried to sell it first, and I guess they had very little success. And then eventually, you know, they, and we'll get into it later, but yeah, eventually it was made. And so then they adapted it into the book a year later. Yeah. And they re-released the book in, I think, 2002, something like that. And they kind of changed it a little bit more. So that first version was, it's kind of like, you know, how you have like those big blockbuster movies and then they have like a novelization. Yep. It's kind of like a novelization, essentially. But the newer version, they added a lot more Christian elements into it. So there's like a nativity scene and a manger and things like that. And it still follows the plot pretty close, but it's a lot more Christian, which is kind of in following with the some of their newer releases also. Like if you go to Hobby Lobby, they have all those Christmas books there and the Thanksgiving ones, you know, like Count Your Blessings, things like that.
Yeah, I just picked a couple up the other day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but you're right. They have the Easter ones and like you said, the Thanksgiving and everything, and they are really Christian themed.
Yeah. But they're still really good. I mean, even the original ones, they still have that theme going out through them.
They do.
Yeah.
So they just, I've really enjoyed the Christian-themed ones because there's, you know, like the story of Easter and everything, it's really easy to read that to my boys and they can get a grasp of what the story is, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. How many kids did you say you had again?
Two boys. Okay. One is, he's 5 and the other one is 2.
Hmm. Well, that's pretty similar. I have an 8-year-old and almost 4. So he'll be 4. Or actually, I guess when this drops, he'll be 4. And then the little one will be is 1. She'll be 2 in December. Okay. So, yeah, it's kind of close there in age.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. You read it to them and they just kind of stare at the pictures and they love it. It really is nice and easy. And they grasp the meaning of everything, which is so cool.
Yep, it is.
Yep. Yeah, so the Berenstain Bears, they actually were developed in 1962. And the funny thing is, it was Stan and Jan Berenstain, and they, you know, they met back in like art class, and I believe it was like in the Philadelphia Museum of a School of Industrial Art or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
So it was something like that. And so, you know, they eventually parted ways, and then they got together and got married, and they started working on these ideas. You know, they wanted to write and draw, and so they eventually contacted Dr. Seuss, which is kind of cool. You know, he liked their book, although he kept trying to push them to like go deeper and really create and stuff like that. So eventually they did, and you know, he's like, all right, so for your next book, you know, do something completely different from bears, because it wasn't even going to be a series. Can you believe that?
Right. Yeah. He thought that there were way too many bears out there already. And there was, I think he said there's Yogi Bear and such bear and the Chicago Bears. You need to move away from that.
Smokey the Bear, maybe. I don't know.
But Smokey the Bear. Yeah.
But yeah, it's so crazy to think that this was never going to be like a whole series of books, because that's all I know it as now, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it grew, I think, like over 260 or 300 different titles or something like that that they've had.
Yeah. It's crazy. Unreal. Well, and then ever since, you know, the father's death, Stan, the sons have been riding with the mom. And then, of course, she passed away like 7 years later in 2012. Yeah. And so then he still publishes them. And I think that's really cool. It's like a family thing, you know?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's like Lord of the Rings with Christopher Tolkien, although instead of him actually writing, he's just like the caretaker, I suppose, of his father's estate and all that. But yeah. This is kind of cooler because the son actually got to write with his mom, and then he now is taking it over. And so there's something special about that.
Yeah, there absolutely is.
But their second book was originally going to be about penguins, which I can't imagine, but I guess he ended up calling them and saying, hey, the bear book is selling like crazy. And so from there, they created this whole thing. But I mean, they lasted. I remember going to like Scholastic book fairs at school and wanting to buy some Berenstain Bears books.
Yeah, you know. Same here. Those were the books I was looking for when I went into the fair.
Oh, Berenstain, those are great. Yeah, you'd get the slip, it was like a sheet, almost like a little mini, I don't know, pamphlet or magazine. I don't know the best way to describe it, but you'd get it for the book order, and it had, of course, the spot that you'd want. And then they'd show up one day, and it was cool. I loved it.
It was. We just got my 5-year-old brought home a Scholastic order form from school just the other day, and I look through it more than he does just because it brings back beautiful memories.
Yeah.
And there's Berenstain Bears on there now.
Nice. See, that's so cool to me.
Yeah, me too.
So, it was a huge hit. And then they kept trying, I guess, for years to do a TV special. And no one really kind of did anything. And one person that they spoke to was, at this one studio was saying, well, there's too many Christmas things. So pick a different holiday. And so I think they even kicked around like Father's Day.
Yeah. Arbor Day, because they lived in a tree.
Arbor Day. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, those are good too. But I mean, Christmas is like, everybody, it's a whole thing. It's different,
Yeah.
And to look at it now,
when I read that, just the thought of too many Christmas specials just blew my mind, because to me, there's not enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I want a new special every Advent, every day of December or something. But yeah, you're right. It's like back then, that was like a big thing to not, you had a certain amount of specials and that was it. But they kept seeing these Christmas specials coming out anyway. And so they decided to keep pushing. And I mean, it's just a really interesting bit that eventually they ended up selling the show, and they didn't even realize it. They met this one producer, and they never heard back from him. And then all of a sudden they get a letter, and I guess apparently it was like sent to the wrong address or something.
Yeah, they moved or something like that.
Yeah. I get that, because I mean that's happened to me before, where I moved and the mail was still going to the other one. But I just thought it was kind of cool that all of a sudden they finally get the letter and says, yeah, come by and we'll talk about it. And so by the time they actually scheduled an appointment and went in, he was a little late. And then he shows up and he's like, it's going to be a pretty easygoing meeting here, because I just sold the Berenstain Bears special. And then it aired on in December of 1979, like right on the cusp of 1980. So,
yep. And then that it opened like the next 5 years. They had a special that came out.
I saw that. That was really cool.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to check out the others, because this is the only one that I really know.
Yeah. The others are pretty good too. The Thanksgiving one, Berenstain Bears Meet Big Paul, is really, really good.
Oh, okay.
And the Easter one is pretty good, but those are the top three. The others aren't bad, but they're not the quality of the Thanksgiving and the Christmas specials.
I gotcha. Yeah. So there was even a show later on, like it ran, I think, from 85 to 87.
Yeah.
Cartoon.
I remember that show.
I do too.
Big time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a lot of them on VHS. I don't know. At one time, my mom was like an Avon lady. Are you familiar with Avon?
I am.
Avon. Yeah. And they must have been sold by Avon or something, because I was getting them in the mail all the time, and she would order stuff like that. But I remember watching those specials or the series, and I loved it. And they're harder to find now, even on YouTube. I've had a hard time.
Yeah, I noticed that. There's a, what channel was it? We did get to see it wasn't a channel. I remember now. We rented some from our local library. And it was just luckily we saw it in the video section. And so we rented some for my daughter, and I mean, she watched it, but that theme song was like so catchy. Yeah. That's like what I remember most about the theme song.
Yeah.
Although I believe most of the voices were actually different from these specials. The specials were pretty much the same voices, except, you know, here and there with the kids and things like that. But, that cartoon had different voices. So when I heard Papa here, because it had been so long, you know, since I had seen it, I heard Papa again. I thought, I don't remember his voice sounding like that. And so I had to go back and look it up. And sure enough, it was someone else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was another series later on, I think in the 2000s, that they did as well.
Yeah, on PBS.
On PBS, yeah. Yeah. That one I haven't seen, so I can't speak to the quality.
I've seen a couple episodes, and it just wasn't the same as the 80s series, so I didn't
watch
much. We actually have a couple little DVDs of a few episodes, and I couldn't get the boys very interested in them. They like the older ones, but
yeah, nice. Ones,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, in coinciding with the cartoon, they actually released in, I think it was 86, they partnered with McDonald's to release some Berenstain Bears Happy Meal toys. And I actually found my Berenstain Bears toys. So my kids like to play with them now, but let's see, there's mom and papa, and then sister.
That's awesome.
Brother. Yeah. So they were playing
with the wheelbarrow.
I do, yeah. The wheelbarrow's there. She's got her little basket, the little wagon that sister rides in, and so yeah, the kids love to play with them, and it's so much fun, you know, just to see them doing that, and I like it a lot. Of course, then they start doing like normal kids, and they'll throw in some of their other toys as well. So I think they meant Paw Patrol or the PJ Masks or something like that. But, you know, you look at the cartoons like Paw Patrol and those, and they're just not quite the same as the Berenstain Bears were.
Yeah. Well, I was just here recently. I've been watching some older cartoons, and Berenstain Bears is one of them. But, like, He-Man, at the end of every episode of He-Man, there was a moral to the story that he talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You took a lesson away. And we were watching Inspector Gadget last night, and I completely forgot about it. Same thing at the end of Inspector Gadget. There was a moral of the story, and he gave a lesson to the kids, you know.
Nice.
And you don't get that stuff anymore.
Yeah, you're right. You really don't. And, I mean, Thundercats is on Hulu now. So we've been watching the Thundercats, and they do the same thing. They kind of wrap it up and give a little lesson. And, of course, G.I. Joe is famous for it, but especially on this show. But, you know, you're right. There's something different and a little bit more wholesome. And some of that has to do, of course, with the standards at the time. And, you know, and some of the broadcasting rules that they had. But at the same time, you know, it's nice to be able to kind of sum up some of the things and really learn.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
But let's talk about this special, because this one is really cool here. First of all, the thing that I did not remember at all was that it was told in rhymes. Like, I didn't realize it was like rhyming couplets in that Seussian style.
And it actually, if I went back and I actually had never looked at it before, but the very first book that they did write, The Big Honey Hunt, it was very similar as, you know, as it relates to this special, the way the story was told. At least I thought that it was. I don't know. Have you looked at the book?
I have the book, but I haven't read it in a while.
Yeah.
Mostly my kids, they like to read the newer ones, like after Honey Bear's been born and that. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was definitely similar type storytelling.
In style. Sure. Yeah.
Yep.
There is another Christmas one that we read, and that one is also told in couplets as well. Mm-hmm. And that one's more about giving and Santa. It's like the Berenstain Bears help Santa Bear or something like that, or meet Santa Bear. And if I recall, that one's also told in those kind of couplets and little quatrains and things like that. And I completely forgot that the show was like that. And so when I saw it, I was like, oh yeah. But it's got that kind of nice lilting, you know, meter that you typically get, especially when you think of like Dr. Seuss. Yeah. But every once in a while, they kind of break that up And so there's like a little bit of a longer phrase, and then they rhyme that longer phrase. And
There are multiple times where I think they're not going to rhyme on that word. And then they carry it on and bam, they nail it somewhere.
And then they
the
nail
online.
It. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. So if we were to nutshell this whole piece, I think it would be that, you know, they're searching, the Berenstain Bears, especially Papa, are in search of the perfect Christmas tree. And of course that they run into hijinks on the way.
Yep.
So yeah.
And that's, in Papa's mind, he thinks that, with all the decorations and all these things, he wants to prove to all the other bears just how Christmassy they are.
Yes.
they've got to have that perfect tree or he can't do that.
Which is funny because it's kind of like that movie Deck the Halls with Danny DeVito. You know, it's like it's Mr. Christmas and all that. And then, of course, DeVito comes in. But you know, you're right. There's Papa is in a very, I don't want to say commercial, but a very like generic Christmas kind of state of mind, you know, where everything has to be shiny and everything has to be perfect and gift wrapped. And, you know, and so it is nice to see his journey as we go on through this later on. No spoilers, but just kidding. But so it starts off on Christmas Eve and there is a narrator. So besides the actual dialogue as well. And sometimes it's kind of cool because it's very Grinch in that way where, you know, Boris Karloff will do the narration and then do the voice as well and things like that. And so the voice of Papa was also the voice of the narrator. So I thought that was kind of a cool little deal there. It reminded me also of...
I didn't realize that.
It's a voice actor. Oh gosh, what is his name here? It is Ron McClarty. And, and so he had done some stage work. He was a playwright also, you know, so not just a voice actor, which I thought that was kind of cool that he also wrote as well. But so he was the narrator and Papa. And so you also kind of get that Peter Pan thing where, you know, famously and whenever they would do the play, the dad would also, you know, the actor that played the dad would also play Captain Hook.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you kind of go into the, you know, psychological aspect of that. But so I thought that was kind of cool. It's very Grinch, very Peter Pan. But it's Christmas Eve and, you know, they're getting all their stuff out. But I love it because right away you get like the bear, you know, you kind of go through Bear Country or is it Bear Country or Bear County?
I think it's Bear Country.
And you see, you know, through the town and you can see like the choir, the bear choir singing. And
I always loved Bear Country. That just seemed like an awesome town to live in.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like it's kind of like one of those small Hallmark towns.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, it's just, it's got that warmth and feel and everybody goes caroling and it's got the whole atmosphere.
Yeah. And this one, everybody, like you said, you got the caroling and everybody's getting ready for Christmas and Papa's strolling through town. He just caught a big salmon.
Big old salmon. Yeah.
Yeah. He's hooking people's hats and everything with his fishing rod.
I think he even pulls Santa's beard off, doesn't he?
I think he does.
But yeah, so he's walking through town. He gets to the treehouse, which before we go any further, Mike Patton from Snow in Southtown, he wanted us to discuss the treehouse because apparently he's pretty flummoxed by it because sometimes it looks huge and other times it looks pretty small.
So, which I know from some of the books that it's a two-story. There's an upstairs to it.
There is an upstairs, yeah. And so I actually found a drawing of it, and I'll send it to you, and I'll post it, of course, on the Facebook page, and it's hard to see there. But so they have their ground floor, which is where, you know, the kitchen, the dining room, and the, you know, the living room are. Then as you go upstairs, there's the family, you know, the parents' bedroom. And then actually on the next floor is where we have brother and sister's rooms. So there's actually three stories and a basement as well, which I thought was kind of
cool. Yeah, I remember
the
basement from a story also.
Yep. So it's really interesting. But what I think is kind of funny is that like whenever you see the picture of just the outside, then, you know, you have like all these different windows and dormers coming out of the house and things like, you know, out of the tree. But then the tree doesn't look really that big. And then, of course, you get inside and all of a sudden it's like a TARDIS or like Oscar the Grouch's can or Snoopy's house.
I was thinking like a Harry Potter kind of thing.
Harry Potter, exactly.
You go to the tent that's gigantic.
Yeah, it's just this huge space. So, Mike, there you go. I hope we covered it enough. And if we didn't, I'm sorry, man. But, so Papa's strolling into the treehouse. He's got that big old fish, and there's a cool bit because the way he's holding it, it kind of looks like the fish is wearing his hat and is walking.
And whenever I was a kid, I couldn't figure out why in the world they were going to have a salmon for Christmas dinner. And now to look back on it now, I thought, well, they're grizzly bears. That makes perfect sense now, you know.
Exactly, yeah. But you're right. You don't think about it. I mean, especially after watching like Yogi Bear and Winnie the Pooh, you think bears eat honey and that's all, you know.
Right, yeah.
But no, they were real. They were really, bears. And so, of course, they were going to have a big old Christmas salmon. And it's huge. I mean, it's about the size of Papa.
Yeah, it is.
So I don't remember. How does he lose it? Because it kind of flies. It kind of starts slipping through. Does he slip on something?
I think that he does. I can't remember exactly either.
Yeah, but.
But he does lose control of the fish.
He loses control of the fish. It starts sliding across the floor, and the cubs are on a big pile of presents, kind of looking at everything. But the fish ends up like slamming through the presents, and of course they fly everywhere, and the cubs are riding the fish, still sliding into the next room, and Mama Bear in the kitchen sees it coming, and she just kind of opens the fridge door. And the salmon ends up going in the fridge.
It just lands in there perfectly.
As they normally do. So the cubs kind of stay out of the fridge. And the salmon has that, you know, that typical fish face. And so then they kind of just pick the corners up and make it smile, which I thought was just a nice little touch. But but that's like our intro to the bear family. So from there, we get going into like the decorations. And so, you know, they're talking about Christmas. It's Christmas Eve. We need a tree.
And they've got a whole closet just jam-packed full of Christmas decorations.
Which is really cool. I want a closet just full of decorations.
Yeah,
you know?
No kidding.
I know there was this one family that I dealt with at the store, and they were buying a new tree, and so I dealt with them for the lights. But with the tree, they said that once they decorate everything, they literally have a closet that they designed in this house they built just to put their Christmas tree in. And it's like I think it was like a 9-foot tree. So it was a pretty big tree.
Yeah.
But they just open it up and they just kind of wheel it in, and then, you know, they wheel it out. And
yeah, well, that'd be pretty, that's worth the work to building a closet to not have to reassemble your tree every year.
For real. Then you don't have to worry about, about anything, but
I don't know if I'd like that though. I love putting the tree up and
I do too.
Decorating and all of that.
Yeah. And they say, you know, they just wheel it out, but I can't imagine like not actually, you know, trimming the tree, you know,
and
putting everything on and the garland and everything. It just, it doesn't
especially
seem
with kids now, it makes it 10 times better.
Yes, exactly. Like a million times, you know? And so it's just, it's one of those things that I thought that was cool that they had a whole closet there that, you know, the bears just for all their ornaments and decorations. And, so, and of course being bears, they have a real tree every year, you know, they don't go for the fake stuff. But yeah, so Papa comes out, he brings a tree stand, and there's a cool little bit where, you know, he's talking about this perfect tree, and as he's talking about it, he kind of morphs into a tree, I guess. And so it's one of those things that they have a lot of these cool little animations that are almost a little surreal, but it's just to kind of build the picture of what Papa's going through and what he has in his mind, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's one of them, and I thought it was just a great, you know, just a great little seg into, or a great little insight into his mind, actually.
Yeah. And I mentioned those other specials to you earlier, and the Thanksgiving one, especially, they kind of do the same thing with him, like, but it's all with Thanksgiving dinner. So, he has his own little thoughts and the story is very similar with Papa, just the way he acts and everything. So.
Well, I think they even say something like, the cubs usually did what Mama said, but Papa kind of does his own thing.
Yep. He could avoid a lot of trouble. That was one thing I learned early on, to listen to Mama.
Listen to Mama, yep.
Right.
yep. She usually has the answers, especially if you're married to her.
That's right.
Oh man. So he gets out this beautiful tree topper star that,
yeah, 18 pointed star,
but it looked really cool. Even just the drawing of it, you know, and it made me,
the animation was awesome. It had a glow to it.
A glow. Yep.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it really was. It made me want it, which, you know, I know is kind of not the point of the special, but when I first saw it, I was like, I want that star for my tree. So I was a little bit papa there myself. So yeah, there's a whole little bit where they kind of bobble it. But from there, that's where they decide to go get their tree. And of course, Mama says, hey, it's going to snow. Bundle up. And so the Cubs did, even though they kind of didn't want to. But yep. Papa was like, nah, it's not going to snow.
He said that he could tell by his left big toe. The storm was coming. So he didn't feel anything.
Yep. So it probably
was. That was the first time he didn't listen to Mama.
And so he goes to get his axe, his handy axe, and he's going to go chop down his tree. Although, of course, Mama also tells him, this is the second time, she tells him, go to, you know, Grizzly Gus's and get your tree from his lot. And Papa starts walking, the Cubs follow, and he's like, I'm not going to Grizzly Gus. Like, as soon as he's out of earshot, he starts talking to the...
Yeah, all his trees overgrown evergreen weeds.
Yeah, weeds. And of course, he runs into Grizzly Gus right, and he's saying that. He's like, oh, hi, Gus. Oh,
hey, Gus.
Yep. So that's the second time that he didn't listen to Mama. But I like it because there's this whole, you know, as we start seeing, you know, this evolution of their journey, more and more they start running into all sorts of obstacles and things like that. And
yeah.
And you're right. If he had just listened to Mama, everything would have been so much better.
Yeah. And instead of, you know, turning around and going back, he's got his mind set on that perfect Christmas tree. He won't give up, and it just keeps getting worse for him.
Yes, exactly right. So yeah, they can see, you know, they're starting to kind of snow a little bit, or the makings of a snowstorm. And so he goes out and they find that first tree, and he's getting ready to cut it down. He's like, it's perfect. It's the greatest tree. We need this tree. Yeah,
exactly what they were looking for.
Everything about it. Yeah. It's the perfect tree. But they notice, or sister, I think, notices that it's actually a tree house. For other animals, for some skunks, and I think some squirrels and a grouse and a chipmunk, something like that. Yeah, and so unfortunately, you know, or fortunately, I should say, she stops him right as he's about to swing, and he manages to kind of control himself. You know, we get this bit where like the skunk kind of gives him a little attitude there.
Yeah, and I like the little. There was a sign at the bottom of the tree. For the name of the skunk, and it was A Skunk.
I
thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, A Skunk. Oh, man.
But this is where he came pretty close to all those animals. Look pretty.
They look pretty upset at him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's funny because this is where I first learned what a grouse was.
When really?
I was little. Yeah. I never heard that before. And it was in the special that I learned what it was. I thought, okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how a lot of these things they kind of teach you. You know, and you don't even realize it, you know. So as I mentioned in my Santa Claus the Movie episode, they use the word puce there.
Yeah.
And so that's what I learned with that color, you know, what that was.
Yep.
But so here I learned what a grouse was. But so Papa's like, all right, I'm not gonna cut down the tree. So they keep going, and of course the Cubs are like, you know, hey, come on, we got to do this. It's Christmas. Yeah. It's Christmas Eve.
Down just a few hours before Christmas.
Only a few hours left, and Papa's just like, nah, we gotta keep going.
He's still got it in his mind that he's got to find that tree to show how Christmassy they are.
Yes, exactly.
Multiple times.
He keeps saying that, that he's got to find like just tall and wide and you know, great. All these adjectives. He's like, that's what Christmas is about. You know, the perfect Christmas tree. And it's like, well, but Papa, is it? So yeah, he'll learn, but right now it's that's what he has in his mind. So he finds another great tree on I think it's on a cliff, right? Is this the one on the cliff?
Right on the edge. Yeah.
But apparently there's like a wolf and an eagle.
And
I think a hawk.
A hawk, I think.
Oh, an owl. That's what it was.
A snowy owl.
A snowy owl. And so, of course, you know, they don't like that he's going to do it too. But we get this really cool bit where the eagle, I think, it was the eagle. He flies
he gets the axe from Papa.
Yeah, he's like diving
in the sky, and it looks like you get like the emblem on the back of a quarter.
Yeah, yeah, the E Pluribus Unum. I think it even says. Yeah, I think so. But yeah, it's just so funny because he's diving at Papa, and you think he's gonna like try to scratch him or something, and he pulls up right to the axe, kind of stops, and then he just pries his finger off one by one off that axe.
Right. Yes.
Which again is not something you'd expect from like this fierce, you know, eagle and king of birds or whatever. And so it's like a lot of times you get just the opposite of what you're thinking is gonna happen.
Yeah.
So.
And I like that, you know, because it keeps it interesting.
It does.
If everything happened just the way you thought, it would get boring pretty quick.
Yeah, because you'd figure it out. And so it was just, it was another great bit. And so the eagle now has their axe.
Yep.
And this is where we get like a cool thing that actually kind of reminded me of the movie Krull. So the eagle throws the axe and it's spinning. And in that movie Krull, did you ever see Krull?
I don't think I have.
Okay, yeah. So there's like this blade. It's like a star, but it's got blades on the end, and they would throw it and it would kind of spin. And that's what the axe looked like as it was flying through the air. Yeah. It would just spin in like the circle kind of thing. And so Papa grabs the cubs and starts running as fast as he can. And of course, as it starts getting closer, he kind of leans away. And I know you guys can't see me, but you know, hey, who cares? So he kind of arches his back and is like running faster.
It gets
faster.
That bow shaped, and I mean, it's just right there nicking at him.
And so luckily he ends up falling, you know, off of like there's like a little dip there, pit, and he kind of falls into that. And so the axe keeps going and lands in a tree trunk. And so they're saved, you know, yep. But for a while there, I mean, Papa was, he was in some deep trouble there.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So finally they're like, okay, it's starting to snow harder. They're still going through the woods and the mountains.
And it's getting deep. It's, I think they said it's up to their gizzards, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
It's
really
getting high.
And, of course, the cubs are, they're like, I'm cold and all that kind of thing. And Papa's, he's like, no, we've got to find this tree. You know, he's a man on a mission.
Yep.
So they get to another perfect tree.
Yeah.
And that's when they see that there's a little window in it. And yep. So Papa decides he's going to look in. And as he looks in, that's where we see some, I don't remember what kind of birds they were, but they were just.
I think they were snowbirds or.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Something like that. Just the little white birds and dressed just like the Berenstain Bears, had little overalls.
I noticed that.
They had a little twig for a tree, and they were decorating it with seeds and different things from the forest. Papa Bird even had Papa Bear's hat.
He had the hat too. Yeah. And the Mama Bird had the little bonnet.
Yeah, the little blue bonnet
with the white polka dots like Mama Bear. Yeah.
Yep. They look over and of course Papa's eye is the size of the window and all you see is an eyeball and it spooks them and seeds go flying everywhere. You know, it was a real funny scene.
It was. I mean, I'd be terrified too if I saw like a huge eye through the window. But eventually they realize that, oh, it's just, you know, it's just another animal creature. And so they start to wave at him. And I think they even say Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, it was nice. And Papa, for the first time, like really starts to kind of get that, you know what, it's not about showing off your tree. It's not about the lights and all that stuff. It's there's a deeper meaning. And so this is where he actually says that, you know, Christmas is a time to think of others.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't matter how big or small or, you know, whatever, just, and so it's like Papa has what, the Tis the Podcast folks guys would call a Linus moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And it led up to that. I mean, I like to think anyway, that each tree they got to, he started to feel a little bit of that. You didn't see it a whole lot until they got to the last one. But every time he let a tree pass, I'd like to think that he was kind of learning that lesson.
So you think about it, you know, that after that first one, he's still kind of a little annoyed, but he's glad that he didn't have to evict all those kids or, you know, all those animals.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the second one just kind of scared him, like Ghost of Christmas Future or something.
So. Yeah. And then the last one hit him right in the feels, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. So he's like, you know what? Let's just go get one from Grizzly Gus after all. Mama was right. It doesn't matter what our tree looks like as long as it's ours. Yeah. And so he does this cool thing with his axe. And man, Papa is strong. I mean, he's, yeah. I don't know how he does it. Maybe because he's a bear, but I mean, he's able to craft some skis out of like a log, like super fast.
Breech ski and bam, there they are.
Just bam, bam, bam. He's got it done. So he makes some skis and then we get like a cool little animation where, you know, they're sliding down and it gets really funny because, you know, it's steep and then it gets steeper and then it's like literally vertical. And it's actually diagonal like the other way where there's no way they'd be able to stay on. And then it kind of spins. So I guess they did like a little loop-de-loop or something on the mountain. But it was a cool little bit. And they were able to get down the mountain fast and get to Grizzly Gus's.
Yep. But to no avail, all the trees are gone.
All the trees are gone. Sorry, sold out.
Yep.
All that was left was some pine needles and Sister, of course, you know, starts to cry. Yeah. Or I think it says she wanted to cry.
Yeah, she wanted to cry. Yeah.
So you could see like the tears forming in her eyes. And
yeah.
But
which
then
kind of surprises this, me, you know.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
All the bears kind of wait until, which I know that there's some people have this tradition to not put their tree up till Christmas Eve, but yeah. Man, those trees sold quick. They were gone.
They sure did. Yeah. Them,
you know, when they went up the mountain.
It makes me wonder, like, what time did they leave? You know, I mean,
yeah.
Was it in the morning? I would think it would be in the morning.
That's true. They probably left in the morning and then came,
you know, because they had to hike up all that mountain.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it must have been. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, those bears. And I guess it makes sense because the traditional way, you know, and I mean, like, hundreds of years ago, you know,
yeah.
You know, 100 and whatever, 50 years, is that you'd put it up on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
So it makes sense for, you know, bear country being very traditional that's kind of what they do.
It does make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. I thought it was strange, too, especially nowadays where, you know, it's, you know, we're thinking of putting our trees up now and stuff like that. Yeah, so they get there, of course, it's sold out, and Sister's about to cry when suddenly she looks over, and this is where we get the beautiful reveal of their treehouse.
Yeah, it's snow-covered, and every ornament they had, all their Christmas things, all of it had been put onto their actual house on the tree.
Their tree house. And it was done by all the animals that they spared, you know, because they didn't chop their house down. You know, all the animals were really impressed, you know, the way that Papa
showed kindness. So they wanted to show kindness back.
Exactly. So it's a great moment. And of course you get like the eagle, you're bringing down the star on top, and I mean, it like makes it. So Papa did get to show off his beautiful 18-point star.
Right. Yep. And all the Christmassy things.
But it was really nice because then we get this beautiful moment. And this is kind of where it really turns into something more, I think, because we've seen this all. Papa has a change of heart. The animals are kind. But as they're looking up, we get the Christmas star.
Yep.
And it's shining down on everything. And they realize that helping others and being kind to others is like the most important thing. And I mean, it's such a great moment. And you can see all the other people from Bear County showing up. And
yeah, they all gather around. And it's an awesome, awesome moment. It truly depicts what the Christmas season is really all about.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's that family and that togetherness and, you know, the Star of Bethlehem just shining. And I mean, it's wonderful. And of course, you can't end a special on just that kind of feel goodness. You got to end it with another little gag. And so we get we cut to Christmas morning. And that's where, you know, they're getting ready to eat their salmon. Sister Bear says something like, well, shouldn't we, if we're supposed to be thinking of others, then shouldn't we be thinking of the salmon?
Yeah. And I think Papa says something like something about her remarks and that it showed wit and perception. But in this case with the salmon, they'll make an exception.
We'll make an exception. Yeah. And then just like his eyes did throughout the whole special, when they turn into Christmas trees, you know, to kind of show how obsessed he was about it. In this case, they turn into salmon. But yeah, it is kind of funny how they put Sister Bear right in front of the face, you know, of the Saturn, so she can see this big old face right in front of her. So I definitely don't blame her for
yeah, me either. Yep. Yep, I get why she kind of had a question about that. They learned this whole big lesson about being kind to others, and all they sang a song about being good to all of nature's creatures and God's creatures, and here they are getting ready to eat that salmon.
Yep, yep. I mean, it's really good. It's a really good special.
Yeah. Oh, this is next to Garfield's Christmas special. This is probably my number two. That's
nice.
I absolutely love it.
Those are both really good ones. Yeah, the Garfield one's really good too.
Yeah, and it really makes me wonder why these. I'm sure it probably has something to do with licensing or something, but why these specials like this don't air anymore? And you get like Robbie the Reindeer or something like that this Saturday after Thanksgiving. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
I'd love to see this come back on.
I would too. There's a lot of them that, especially I've been covering lately, that just, I mean, they're great, and I don't know how they can't be shown anymore. And you're right, it's probably something about rights and you know, just things like that. But it is a shame because, I mean, you know, we have like these great Emmy Award winning composer for it, you know, writing the songs and this just great message at the end, and it's just fun animation, and of course everybody likes Berenstain Bears, and so it is a shame that we don't get these, this kind of thing. And I mean, for a 25 minute special, it hits the mark, I think, for sure.
Yeah, it does. It like I say, it's one of my favorites. It's up there.
Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, there's some great quotes from this that Papa Bear is just, let's see, no, that tree back there, you know, after, oh yeah. So after they, you know, they escape from the eagle and all that, he says things like, no, that tree back there wasn't quite it. It was, its green was too green. You know,
And that's kind of the thing I mentioned, that it kind of went along with the first book that the Stan and Jan had written, and they're looking for honey in that book. And every tree they go to, every place, it turns out that it's not exactly what they were looking for, you know, so that it kind of played along with this, the same kind of style. But yeah, and he keeps, as he's looking, you know, he says he's going to go to the Panama Isthmus or to the top of Pike's Peak. And he doesn't care if it takes him a week, you know.
Panama Isthmus. Oh, man. See, and you know what? When they said Panama Isthmus, I was expecting them to rhyme it with Christmas.
Me too.
But again, they didn't. Yeah,
that was one of those instances where Pike's Peak, and I'm like, Pike's Peak, that doesn't rhyme.
It doesn't rhyme, yeah. But then they rhyme that, yeah. Yeah, I remember thinking, huh, that's an odd choice. And then, oh, okay, that makes sense now. Yeah, I mean, they're just, it's it's very unexpected. Of course, it's also very expected, you know, that eventually they're going to learn a lesson and find a tree, but I like how there's just a lot of little things that just kind of turn it on its head.
Yep.
But
like I said at the beginning, as the story progresses, things just get worse and worse for Papa. And
I know. Poor guy.
But
I think he's just the kind of guy that he needs to learn. He needs to learn his lesson the hard way.
Yeah, the hard way. Yeah.
But I think at this point, he probably should have learned that you got to listen to Mama.
That's right. And ignore that big toe.
No. He must not have been married very long. But yeah, the Berenstain Bears, they really do have some great holiday specials now, and some holiday books. So they've got like three or four Christmas books. I mean, I know there's at least several Thanksgiving books.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. There's I know at least one Halloween
book. The Trick or Treat one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Some Easter books.
There's some really good ones there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any topic, they pretty much have it covered.
They pretty much covered it, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they did one on smoking.
Peer pressure. And
peer pressure, yeah.
Bullies and trouble with school. I mean,
cheating and
cheating.
Not doing your homework. The one that we always read to my kids is the one about picking up all their stuff, you know, clean up.
Yeah, that one gets read a lot here too. It hasn't rubbed off on them yet. No, I don't think they've quite understood the moral of the story.
Yeah, for some reason that one just hasn't quite gotten to them yet.
Yeah, and there's some, I meant to mention it earlier, but you probably came across it with the Berenstain Bear name.
Oh, there's yeah.
Theory that that it was always spelled like Berenstein, S-T-E-I-N, instead of stain.
Yep.
And I read that people claim that somewhere that crossed with a alternate universe and stuff. And it, like, there's these giant theories about the name, and people's had proof and all of this, and it's been crazy.
Oh man, yeah, it's unreal. I think that whole phenomenon is called like the Mandela effect.
Mandela effect,
you know, where people swear that he died in prison. Of course, he didn't.
Yeah,
but yeah, this is one of those things where, and I'd completely forgot. I'm glad you brought it up because I'd forgotten about it. I remember it being EIN.
Yeah, me too.
And it wasn't until I really looked about it and someone pointed it out that I was like, oh yeah, it is A-I-N. Yeah. But for some reason, yeah, same thing. I swear it was E-I-N.
I even went back through. I've got a lot of the books from my childhood, and I went back to look at the title and the names just to see. And of course, they were all Stain instead of
Stain. Yep. So you crossed over into the alternate universe.
I did, yeah, somewhere along the line.
Yeah, there's these theories that every decision you make or every action you take, you know, it splits off into a new branch of reality and, you know, stuff like that. And so I guess somehow we ended up in in the reality where it's AIN.
Yep. But that's all right with me.
I'm fine with that too.
I'll take either one.
Yeah. as long as the stories are still good, we'll take it.
Yep.
So I have to ask, what would you say is your happiest moment or memory of the special?
Well,
if you want to do the Berenstain Bears in general, you can do that too.
Well, I think I'll go with the special. And I really enjoyed watching it whenever I was a kid and had the chicken pox. But the chicken pox kind of
ruined it,
the enjoyment a little bit, you know. So my happiest moment was when I found it again. I'd actually forgotten about it for a few years and was just digging around some stuff on eBay and came across the DVD of it.
Nice.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I completely forgot about that and bought it right away. And it's been in the lineup ever since then. But finding it again after all those years was awesome. And
nice.
Either that or showing it to my kids and they've really loved it. So that's pretty cool too.
Yeah. And I think that would have to be mine, 'cause I remember seeing it when I was younger. But, you know, it was one that wasn't showed all the time. So I think I saw it on VHS or something.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it was, I don't know, someone taped it or something. But I know I saw it when I was younger, and then I'd forgotten about it. And then seeing it again with my kids later on. Yeah, you're right. It was something special because they loved the books. I loved the books. And so, I mean, just, you know, they're watching it and their eyes are just wide and their mouths are kind of open. You know, and so, I mean, it's fun.
With the DVD that I got, I think there's two or three episodes of the 80s series on there also. So
nice.
That I love that part of it too.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm going to have to go look for it now. I think it's definitely going to be from now on part of my canon, my Christmas canon. Yeah. Normally I try to watch, you know, if I can, something on Freeform or AMC, you know, one of those. But lately, a lot of times they just kind of play the same movies over and over again. So we end up doing is just putting on some of our DVDs and Blu-rays and things like that.
That's exactly what we do. And I've got so many days before Christmas, just kind of a set schedule that that's whenever we start rolling the DVDs through, you know, and the list keeps growing. I'm going to run out of time eventually.
You're going to have to start doubling up. So, you know, like two or three a night, but yeah, that's what we do. So I think this one's for sure getting added to that.
Yeah.
It's so good and wholesome, but also fun and funny. And
it is,
especially
if you get a chance, definitely check out especially since the season's coming up, the Thanksgiving special. You'll enjoy it also.
I bet I will, because, I mean, I really enjoyed this one, so I was excited. Yeah. I mean, I know they had to draw like crazy. I think they spent like 3 weeks just drawing the bears from different angles and all sorts
of things. Yeah, they said drawing them from behind was the hardest part because they'd never done that before.
You know what? I can imagine, it makes sense. You know, all of their pictures are like from the side or even, you know, like at an angle.
And from what I understand, they drew, which makes sense, they drew kind of models and stuff for the animators for the special to follow. And I guess they were scared to death to see what their bears were going to look like whenever the special came out. And they got to see like a 7-second clip of of what they'd done, and it just blew their minds to see their bears actually moving and walking around. You know, it was pretty cool.
You know what? I believe it. I completely believe it. I'd be the same way. I'd be like, show it again.
Yeah.
Show it again.
Yeah. I think they said they watched it like 27 times in a row or something like
that. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, I completely get it. I'd do the same thing, but now we come to my favorite part of the show, which is a little segment I like to call Gag Me with the Spoon. So this is, of course, as you remember, this is where we do our best impressions of our least favorite part, which I know is very difficult to pick a moment here. And then, of course, we'll leave it to the voters and, you know, we'll see what happens after that. But but as a guest, I'll let you go first and you just kind of set up the scene and go.
Okay.
For it.
Yeah. All right. Like you said, it was hard to pick out something that I didn't like out of this. So,
right.
What I've got, it's kind of at the beginning and they're going through all their Christmas things and looking at all their decorations, and there's a Santa bear and reindeer and all this stuff. And they pull up this little, singing bear. And the only thing really Christmassy about him, there's a little bit of holly on his base and he's in a black tuxedo with a top hat and it sings, and I'm going to sing this little song,
nice.
I guess. But it goes, is the season to be furry, especially if you're a bear.
That was good.
That's what I've got.
That was good. So mine, it's similar. It's when they're talking about all the things that they have and that they're going to eat. And Papa says chocolate covered snails. And so the brother and sister together go, chocolate covered snails, yuck. I don't know why. I just thought their delivery was just not great, but yeah. You know, it's not like I didn't like it. It's just, it was not the part I liked best.
Right. Yeah. You had to pick something.
Exactly. Yeah. That was good. So I will leave it to you listeners as an all-star. I'll find something to give you or something. Maybe you'll just have the bragging rights to that you've beaten.
Hey, that works.
I don't know, but
just the joy of being on your show will be payment enough.
Shucks. Thank you. But so G.I. Joe, you know, they taught us that knowing is half the battle. What would you say is the other half?
If knowing is half the battle in this one, and I mentioned this a couple times, I think that the other half is ignoring your left big toe.
Yes.
That thing never did kick in to let him know that storm was coming.
No, it never did. I don't trust it. Don't trust it.
Yeah. I have a second one. If it's you go ahead and then.
Okay. So for me, if knowing is half the battle, the other half is making sure that you have a house shaped like a tree. So when animals come to decorate it, it'll be a huge Christmas tree.
That one's better than mine. That's a good one.
What's your second one?
I was going to say if knowing is half the battle, then the other half is listening to mama.
Listening to mama. Yep. That's the best one, I think.
Well, of course, if he'd listened to mama, we wouldn't have had a Christmas special.
That's true. So. Yeah, it would have been over pretty quick. He would have just gone to Grizzly Gus, and that's about it.
Got his tree, and they'd put all their stuff on it, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. No special message. He wouldn't have gotten everything. So
wouldn't have learned a lesson.
No lesson.
It all worked out for the best.
Yeah, it really did. And it worked out the best for us. Yeah.
Yes, it did.
But right now, we are going to go climb a mountain and chat with the littles. Hi, welcome to another segment of Chatting with the Littles. I'm here with little number one.
Hello!
Do you remember the Berenstain Bears Christmas tree?
A little bit.
And do you remember at the very end what happens?
Yeah, some people decorate their tree.
That's right. All the forest animals whose homes that they spared by not chopping down their trees, right?
Yeah.
What do you love about the Berenstain Bears?
Papa's always the craziest.
Like Daddy?
And in Bluey.
And in Bluey, too. That's right. Yep. What else about the Berenstain Bears do you like?
I remember the Halloween one.
Oh, yeah?
The Berenstain Bears. And Papa went to go trick-or-treating, too.
Oh, yeah? Do you want Daddy to go trick-or-treating with you?
Sure, but Papa was wearing like a little ghost costume with a pumpkin hat on his head. And there was holes of triangles and a square nose and a funny-looking mouth. And he could see through the little mask thingy.
Okay.
Halloween pumpkin.
Cool. Yeah, bear and state bears are pretty cool, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Is Too Tall in the one from when you were little? Too Tall in his game?
Too Tall comes out.
When?
Different episodes and different books.
Okay.
Well, on that note, we will now return to our regularly scheduled program.
Woo.
All right, Jason, it's been fun. I mean, it's always a blast talking with you. So, you know, what do you want to plug?
Well, I've actually just started a Facebook page in the last month and a half, and it's called Holidays Unknown. And it's nothing fancy, just kind of my way of being part of the holiday community. And I'm just trying to bring back things that people might have forgotten or have never seen before. And some things are a little more common that everybody's seen, but just anything that can kind of stir up a little nostalgia for people, just to get you in that holiday spirit. And I'm actually thinking, since October's coming, I'm not limited to Christmas, so I'm going to start throwing in a little bit of Halloween stuff. In November, same thing for Thanksgiving, throw a few things in there. But yeah, every 2-3 days, I try to put something on the page just to give people something to look at. So
yep.
Everybody's more than welcome to check it out and like the page.
Yeah, and there's always something really cool about it. So there are several that I remembered from when I was a kid. And so I was like, oh, that's great. And so I made sure to share it and just, you know, tag your page. And, you know, it makes me smile when I see it. And you're right, it does.
That's the goal, you know, just to bring a little something holiday to your day, you know.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a great job. Yeah, so definitely keep it up. And I'm excited to see what you're going to do for the Halloween and Thanksgiving ones.
Yeah, I've enjoyed doing it. So I'll keep it going.
Right on. Yes, definitely keep it going. And check it out. It's called Holidays Unknown. Again, thank you so much for coming on.
And yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome anytime. In fact, I think I'm going to have you back in a couple of weeks, and we'll do we'll talk about Choose Your Own Adventures.
Yeah, there's I'm looking forward to that one too.
Little teaser for you guys there. but on that note, I will say, but Pop was forgetting something that day. Christmas is more than show and display. It's more than just tinsel and pink plastic stars and stuffing yourself with sugar nut bars. There was something important that Pop was forgetting. Christmas is forgiving. It isn't forgetting. This was a time to be thinking of others, mamas, papas, sisters, brothers, a time to think of checking us out on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you're feeling like Papa in search of the perfect tree, leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. Now, don't forget to vote. Later, dudes.
What did you want to say?
Challenge time.
Challenge time.
The challenge for today, or the podcast thingy, is read as many Berenstain Bear books as you can. I write later, dudes.